Back in 2010, Jeff Rader co-founded the iconic brand Warby Parker, which has since gone on to revolutionize the eyewear market and become a household name. But he's now the CEO of Harry's, an innovative company that's hoping to replicate the Warby success, but this time for the shaving market. This is Eureka. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, Jeff shares his story.
I thought I wanted to do something that mattered in the world. That's always really been important to me. I got a master's in international affairs at this school in Washington, D.C., and I thought I would join the State Department or another D.C. policy institution that I felt at the time would have big impact in the world more broadly. When I was there, I interned at a couple places like that and realized that there was a long path to having true decision-making authority in that community, and that I didn't feel like I could early on in my career have as much impact as I would want. So I started Warby Parker when I was in business school with three other really good friends. One of my close friends had the idea coming to school. He told me about it one day. We were sitting around after class, and I've worn glasses my whole life. I had a $500 pair of glasses that were not in the best shape. My prescription had kept changing, but I hadn't changed my glasses because they were so expensive. And when I heard about this idea to launch a new brand of glasses direct and to be able to sell them for under $100, like, it just really resonated with me. I remember not being able to sleep that night and emailed a couple of the guys I'd been chatting with about it, like, 1 a.m. and got an email back right away, but like, I can't sleep either. I've been thinking about it. And very quickly thereafter, we sat down as a group and decided to build the company and do it in school, sort of see what happened. And I think from that moment on, that really became what I did for that period in my life, for 2 years in school. And it's blown away our wildest expectations. The idea for Harry's came about in late 2011 when Andy went to a drugstore, waited for 10 minutes for someone to unlock a case where the razors were being held, paid $25 for 4 razor blades and some shaving cream. And it wasn't the actual $25 that bothered him, but it was the fact that he felt like he was being taken advantage of. Like, he felt like he was being exploited by these big brands. Then he looked in his bag and there was a picture of a razor blade flying over the moon. He's like, I don't understand why this exists. And so he called me and said, hey, do you think you could take some of what you guys learned at Warby Parker and do it better here? His experience really resonated with me. I got super excited about the idea, the opportunity to try to build a brand that could do this better for guys everywhere, starting with ourselves. And off we went to try to build Harry's. The way that we thought about starting Harry's was really starting with ourselves. Rather than thinking about the industry dynamics or, you know, the different brands out there, it's like, what would we as a customer want? And we didn't feel like that existed in the world. And then we started talking to our friends and we asked them about shaving, and we had never talked to guys about shaving before Harry's. And they seemed pretty dissatisfied too. And that gave us a lot of resolution or a lot of confidence that it felt like we could do something that would actually be good for guys. The idea first came from a feeling that we wanted guys to have, which was that we were a brand that was warm and relatable, kind of like an uncle who you could sit down and have an honest man-to-man conversation with. And we loved this ritual of shaving being passed down from grandfathers to fathers and fathers to sons. So we made a list of all the people in our lives who were like that. And I had a grandfather figure named Harry. And we kind of stopped there and were like, could we really call a shaving brand Harry's? And we sort of both laughed like, that's exactly what we should call it. So first, we had the idea, we had the brand, and then we had to figure out how to make the product. Literally, we became obsessed with razors and razor blades and bought everything we could in the market and would just try them either sides of our faces. So it was like an A-B test. And it's a physically and emotionally scarring experience when you have a bad shave. And so we pretty quickly were able to understand what was good and what wasn't so good. And so we became obsessed with how razor blades are made and who makes the best razor blades and where they come from and how that all happens. And razor blades are exceptionally difficult to make, way more complicated than we ever thought. There's real magic in the way that you grind steel such that it's very stable at its base and sharp at its tip. Before you even grind that steel, by the way, you have to change its molecular composition so that it's the right hardness to actually put a sharp edge on it. And for a long time, we couldn't find a supplier who could make products that we'd be proud to sell. And we tried everything in the market ourselves. And we happened upon this factory in Germany. It's almost a 100-year-old factory who's been grinding steel on some of the best blades in the world for a long time and refining that process over decades. We found out about the factory from a blog that was written by a shaving enthusiast and a double-edged who loves razor blades. And he was writing about where all the best double-edged blades were made in the world. And he mentioned this factory in Germany that are actually making very reputable brands of double-edged German blades. And I was like, well, what is this mystical place? I need to understand and learn more about it. So I found them on the internet and saying, hey, you know, I started this company in the U.S. called Warby Parker. It's had some traction. I think there's a really awesome opportunity here. We need a partner. Can you just send us some of your products? After a couple conversations, they were convinced enough to just send us some products to the U.S. And for us, even to this day, but certainly in the first year, it was a really big exercise on our parts of building credibility with them. Like, we are crazy Americans, but we actually have a plan here, and we're going to do what we say we're going to do. We had a lot of conviction and belief in our idea, and we believe that if we could get a sort of make a custom product with one of, if not the best independent manufacturer in the world, and have a brand that we really believed in, that we had a proposition that could work and that people would want to invest behind us in that proposition. And fortunately enough, they were. I think on the brand side, the one thing that I would encourage people to do is to really deeply invest in technology early. We were getting so many sales early on that we actually broke the platform. People couldn't check out because imagine a line at a grocery store. They were literally queuing up in line digitally because this platform couldn't handle the amount of volume that we had. It was a good problem, but it was hard for our customers. And it wasn't flexible. And so our engineers pretty quickly said, look, this isn't going to work long term, especially if we think we're going to grow the way we are. And so they had to rebuild the entire platform from scratch, mirroring all the functionality the third-party platform had and then moving it over. And we did that within the first 2 months, which was a pretty crazy experience and pretty high risk. Thankfully, we have really talented engineers that were able to do it really well. The other thing that we probably could have done better early, and I think this happened over a couple of years, was be clearer in Germany about our vision for the integration. I think when we bought the factory in Germany, we spent a lot of time trying to make sure that we could get a deal done and talking to people at the factory about how we'd work together. Ultimately, Andy and I wanted to have one company that was a truly global company that within the same mission and purpose. But it was a scary thing to try to accomplish that when we didn't really understand this business in Germany that we just bought to the level that we needed to and didn't understand the politics and the relationships among all the people. And so we sort of started slowly and continued to kind of run them as two companies for a little while and then slowly find ways to integrate. And what we found there is that without an overarching vision and a real conviction around where we're going, it just created unnecessary complexity. And so we actually stepped back a couple years ago and said, hey, we need to create one company here. And we sort of rolled that out to Germany. So we're going to call this factory Harry's. We all work for Harry's now. Our email addresses are harrys.com. And we're all in this together in one boat. We're not in two boats kind of rowing at the same pace. We're now all in one boat together. I think that was helpful direction and guidance. If I had to do it over again, I'd have done that at the beginning. I really like new, to my detriment sometimes, I really like new ideas. And I love launching things in places with a lot of uncertainty. Like, I get a kick out of it personally. I really do like new things. And so I think a lot about that in the context of the business that we're building. And what's exciting for me about Harry's today is I think there's just so much room for us to grow. And we can grow geographically. We can grow in different channels. We launched at Target in the U.S. last year and have relationships at specialty retailers like Barney's and hotels like The Standard. And we can grow with new products. And ultimately, I think as a company, we can build new brands. And I think that's a really exciting thing to think about for a long time. And therefore, I think the impact and reach of Harry's can be pretty broad in the world. One thing that's been, I think, important for us to have perspective on and humbling for me personally is that great brands and great companies take time to build. I have a 5-year-old son, 3-year-old daughter. Harry's is 4 years old almost. Like, Harry's is in its life stage at the same place where they are. And they all have a lot of room and time to grow up. We, as leaders, have a lot of room and time to need to grow up, too. And so I think the one thing that, you know, we try to do is have a long-term view that we want to go do all these things, but we're not in any huge rush. I think what we want to do is do them in a way that feels right for the company and the brand at the time, and to be considered and give them all their best chance for success.
Jeff Rader, co-founder of Warby Parker and the CEO of Harry's. Eureka's back next Friday, but before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This episode was edited by Wei-Dong Lin. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.